We'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, and we will study through verse 9 in our lesson today. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin by reading verse 4. Paul said, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." Paul, in this verse, talks about a previous letter that he had written to these Corinthians. And he says that it broke his heart to have to write this letter to these people. Notice what he says in this verse. He said that he wrote out of much affliction. It caused him great distress. It tore Paul up on the inside to have to write these things to these people. Then he says that he wrote out of anguish of heart. He dreaded having to say what he did. It bothered him, and it caused him a lot of grief to state the things that he did in that letter. And then he adds that as he wrote that letter, he shed many tears. Paul cried when he wrote that letter. He didn't just get sad a little and sob and weep lightly, but he cried and he wept hard. He shed many tears as he wrote that letter. Now, what letter is Paul talking about? What did he write that made him so upset? Well, we know that when he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, that he mentioned writing to them earlier about having company with fornicators, and he meant fornicators in the church. You read about that epistle that he mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. That appears to be an earlier letter that Paul wrote before the book of 1 Corinthians. But when he talks about this sadness in this verse, how that he wrote out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, and because of what he talks about after this verse, it appears that the letter that he's talking about writing to these people refers to the book of 1 Corinthians. This appears to be what he's talking about in this passage. What did he say in the book of 1 Corinthians that caused him great pain? Now, we know because of what he says later in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, that this letter of 1 Corinthians did cause the Corinthians to be sad. It did cause them grief, and it needed to because they were in the wrong. But Paul is saying, it hurt me to write it. It hurt me to have to say those things. Now, what did he say in the book of 1 Corinthians that caused him great pain? Well, remember that Paul told those people that they were acting like babies. He said, "I couldn't talk to you like spiritual, but as unto babes in Christ." That's in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. He also told them that they were arrogant. Remember that several times in the book of 1 Corinthians, he talked about them being puffed up. He told them that they were puffed up instead of mourning like they should have been mourning in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2. So they were arrogant, and Paul told them that. He didn't get any pleasure out of telling them these things. It hurt him to have to say these things. Remember that Paul had been with these people for a year and a half. He worked with them. He worshiped with them for 1.5 years. He knew these people by name, and more than anything else, he really loved these people. And when you really love somebody, it can be hard to tell that person what that individual needs to hear. But Paul knew that they needed to hear these things. But that didn't make it easy for him to say what he did in that book. But you'll notice furthermore in the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul told them several times that they should be ashamed of themselves. He told them, "You ought to be ashamed." Because they were suing each other, they were taking each other to court. He talks about that in chapter 6. He shows that they were embarrassing the poor members, that is, the rich members of the church, were embarrassing and shaming the poor members of the church in chapter 11, verse 22. And Paul says that they should have been ashamed for doing that. They were showing out in worship. And also, they did not believe and accept the doctrine of Christ on the resurrection of the dead like they should have, and Paul says, I speak this to your shame. So several times in that book, he really gets on to them and tells them that they ought to be ashamed and they need to stop acting like children in the Lord. But perhaps more than anything else, it hurt Paul deeply to have to get on to these people about the fact that they were condoning sin. Remember in 1 Corinthians 5 what Paul mentioned to them? There was a man in the church at Corinth who was living with his stepmother. He was fornicating with her. He was living in sin. And that's specifically what Paul is about to talk about in verses 5 through 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But before we look at what he says, about that man that was living in sin and what those Corinthians did and how it turned out, let's notice what Paul says about why he said these things. Why did Paul write to them so severely? In verse 4, he says, I didn't write those things so that you should be grieved. I didn't write what I did to hurt you. I did not do it just so that you would be grieved. I didn't get on to you just to hurt your feelings. I didn't do it out of meanness. Now again, what he said did sting those people. What he said did hurt their feelings, and it needed to because he needed to get their attention. He writes about that later in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8. But he said, I did write to you to show you how much I love you. I did it for your own good. Yes, everything that he wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, where he got on to those people and he rebuked them, and he told them that they were acting like babies and that they ought to be ashamed, he was not doing that out of meanness. He was doing that to help these people. Now, some of those people may have questioned this. Just like some today, when they read the book of 1 Corinthians, might think that Paul is just being harsh. People might think that Paul was unloving in the book of 1 Corinthians. But Paul says that the book of 1 Corinthians actually doesn't show that he was unloving. It shows just how much he did love them. So there's an important lesson here. And that is, when you truly love someone, you have to say things sometimes that hurt their feelings because what you're saying is for their own good. There's a great verse in the Old Testament about this. It's found in Proverbs chapter 27 in verses 5 and 6. And here's what Solomon said. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend refer to the times when a friend says something to you that hurts your feelings, but you needed to hear it. So those are called the wounds of a friend. The Bible tells us in this passage, Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, that open rebuke is better than secret love, and faithful, that is reliable, true, and genuine, are the wounds of a friend. It has to be done sometimes, as unpleasant as it is, as much as we dread it, and sometimes it causes us great pain and sadness to do it. But yet Paul said, even though I hated to do it in one way, it had to be done for your own good. Even though he cried when he wrote those things, he knew that he needed to say them. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So true love is corrective, not permissive. In other words, if Paul had had the idea of love that many people today have, he would have said, well, I love them too much to say anything to hurt their feelings, and so I'm going to allow them just to continue in sin and not say anything that might make them mad. That would not be true love. That's what people call love, but that is not true love according to the Bible. In verse 5, Paul writes, but if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Paul is saying, if anybody has caused grief, he's not grieved me. He's not saddened me, but in part. In a way, that has happened. I have been grieved by some at the church at Corinth because of their attitude. But he says, I realize that not all of you are like this. I don't want to be too hard on all of you. I don't want to overcharge you. Paul is saying, I don't want to be too severe. So at the church at Corinth, after Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, there were some in the church there that were doing better. But there were others that still had the same old critical spirit. And so Paul is saying, I'm trying to be fair here because not all of you have that stubborn and critical attitude. Some of you have changed and some of you are doing better. So he said, I don't want to overcharge you. That is, I don't want to overburden you or be too severe with you in what I'm saying here. So what did Paul say about that man in verses 6 through 9 of this chapter? Well, remember that we're talking about the man that they withdrew fellowship from in 1 Corinthians 5 because he was living in fornication. Paul told them not to have company with that man and not to eat with that man. So what happened in the end? And what does Paul say about that? Well, in verse 6, Paul said, "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many." Who is that man? The fornicator in 1 Corinthians 5. What did Paul tell the church to do with that man? Withdraw from him. The church there did just what Paul said. They disciplined that man. And I want you to notice in verse 6 that the Bible refers to this as punishment. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment. Why is it called punishment? Well, because Paul said, don't have company with this man and don't eat with him. So in a sense, the church did punish him for his sin. And Paul said, it is sufficient. You've done enough. They hadn't done anything to this man when Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians to begin with, but now, after he told them to withdraw from that man, he said, you've done what I told you, and you've done enough. It's time now to show that man forgiveness. And what's implied here, of course, is that the man repented. He says, furthermore, in verse 6, that this punishment was inflicted of many. That's very important. Church discipline is to be a church action, a congregational action, not just the decision of a preacher or an eldership, but the whole church is to be involved in this. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, that eventually you have to tell it to the church, and the church is to try to restore that person who is in sin. But Paul is saying about this man that was in sin that they withdrew from at the church at Corinth. Now, since he's repented, and that means that he's no longer living with that woman, don't hold him at arm's length. Don't continue to shun that man. Don't continue to try to make him feel ashamed. Instead, he says in verse 7, so that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. Forgive him. Don't hold it against him anymore. And comfort him. That means encourage him and reassure him. Why? Because Paul said, lest perhaps such a one, that is this man, be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow, so that he's not crushed in his spirit, so that he's not overburdened with grief. To be swallowed up means to be consumed or eaten up with too much sorrow. Sometimes people don't feel enough sorrow for sin. At other times, they can feel too much guilt. And Paul wants to avoid that extreme. So in verse 8, he said, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Confirm your love to him. Reassure him. Tell him. Let him know that you love him. This was a very emotional experience for all of these people, the man who sinned and the whole church. So the church did right by pulling their fellowship from this man, but now, Paul said, let him know that you love him. And in verse 9, we have a very interesting statement. Paul said, for to this end, for this purpose, also did I write, that I might know the proof, that is the test of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and especially 1 Corinthians 5, to put them to the test, to test them, to see if they would obey. So the command to withdraw fellowship is a test of our faith and a test of our love, and some would say that it is the acid test of our faith. And by the way, some people today say that church discipline will not work, and yet we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Corinthians practiced church discipline, and it did work. This man repented and was restored.